voice.
Mm-hmm.
Have you prayer requests?
Martha says.
David.
David and Owen.
Colby and my son in the lineup today in Massachusetts. Michael and Stephen.
Hallowed be your name, Lord. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here on this earth as you would have it done in heaven. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Provide for the needs of those here in the church. Lord, forgive us our sins in the same way that we forgive those who have sinned against us. And we just pray that you lead us not only to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Lord, we ask that you would be with us. For the Marcus and Leroy and their family, as they're out there in Ohio right now, we pray that your word would go forth. That you fill them with the Spirit. That you always be with us. Brother David, Nolan, the brothers who are flying back to Massachusetts today, be with them, be with those who have turned away, specifically Michael and Stephen. Pray that you would draw them back to Chris Irish. Pray that you would fill us here with your Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. I believe we are in Job chapter 10, is that right? What you boys remember? Do you remember? Well, I'm going to be reading out of the Septuagint. We're going to take time.
Chapter 11.
So, then Job is done talking, is that right? He just got done speaking then. So his friend is going to start. Chapter 11, the Septuagint, starts out this way. This may read a little different than yours, Septuagint, here. In fact, in some places it reads way different. So, follow along, but also be listening, because there may be some differences there. In fact, the name might be very different. Something else I wanted you to remember. The book of Job is a retelling of what happened to this guy Job. We've gone over this. You've said what happened to him over and over. And his friends came and they talked to him. And what we're doing is we're outside looking in on what happened. And just something for you to remember. Just because Job is in the Bible doesn't mean that everything that Job's friends say is right. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? And the reason I'm saying this is because it's going to take a long time to get through the book of Job. And you may hear something his friends say and be like, wow, this is what the Bible says. When it may actually be that his friend is just not giving really good advice. So just remember that we're seeing what these guys are saying to Job. And at the end, God is going to talk to Job. Okay? So just keep that in mind. Okay. Then, so far, the Menonite, answered and said, "He that speaks much should also hear on the other side. And does the fluent speaker think himself to be righteous? Blessed is the short-lived offspring of woman." That means, the man who lives just a short time and then dies, that guy's blessed. In comparison to the guy who lives long, that's what his friend is saying. "Be not a speaker of many words, for is there none to answer you? For say not, I am pure in my works, and blameless before him. But oh, that the Lord would speak to you and open his lips with you. Then shall he declare to you the power of wisdom, for it shall be double of that which is with you, and then you shall know that the just recompense of your sins has come to you from the Lord. So what he's saying is, if God would just come down and he would tell you how sinful you really are, because Job, you think that you're a righteous man, but we know that you're not, because, well, what they think is that if anything bad ever happened to someone, it must be God who's causing it to happen. So that's what he's saying. Then God would come in. You know, Job's been saying, I haven't done anything wrong. And he's kind of begun to get frustrated. Like, if I could talk to God and we could counsel together, I could explain to him that I haven't done anything wrong. You know. So anyway, his friend goes on to say in verse 7, Will you find out the traces of the Lord, and have you come to the end of that which the Almighty has made? Heaven is high, and what will you do? And there are deeper things than those in hell. What dost thou know, or longer than the measures of the earth and the breadth of the sea? And if he should overthrow all things, who will say to him, what have you done? For he knows the works of transgressors. And when he sees wickedness, he will not overlook it. But man vainly buoys himself up with words, and a mortal born of woman is like the ass of a desert. For if you have made your heart pure and lifted up your hands toward him, if there is any iniquity in your hands, put it far from you, and let not unrighteousness lodge in your habitation. For thus shall your countenance shine again as pure water, and thou shalt divide thyself of uncleanness, and shalt not fear. And thou shalt forget trouble as a wave that has passed by, and thou shalt not be scared. And thy prayers shall be as the morning star, and light shall arise as thee from the noonday. And you shall be confident, because you have hope, and peace shall dawn to you from out of anxiety and care. For you shall be at ease, and there shall be no one to fight against you, and many shall charge and make supplications to you. That means ask him for help. But safety shall fail them, for their hope is destruction, and the eyes of the ungodly shall waste away. Okay, so basically what his friend here at the end is saying is, well, first off, he says, Job, we know that you've sinned, because if you hadn't sinned, none of this bad stuff would happen. So just admit that you've sinned. And really, his advice is pretty good. I mean, confess your sin to God. He thinks that if Job would just simply confess his sin, that all of his problems would go away. But the point that we need to get out of here is that this guy, he's falsely accusing Job of being wicked. And he's trying to coax Job into just voluntarily saying, okay, you're right, I am wicked. And that's why he's saying, now Job, if you'd simply confess these sins that you have hidden, lodged deep, deep in your heart, then all of a sudden all good would happen to you. But what this guy doesn't realize is that when we do righteousness, sometimes bad things happen to us. And that's not proof that we've done wickedness. Just because your car breaks down or you get sick or somebody dies does not mean that God is punishing you. And at the same time, when you're a righteous person and you're doing what God wants and you're pleasing Him, that doesn't mean that sunshine is going to be shining down on you all the time and that it's just going to be peaches and cream every day. There's going to be trouble one way or the other. And the problem with this guy's thought is he thinks that somebody who's got a good life means sinless or doing real good and God's causing all these good things to happen. And when he does bad, God's causing all the bad things to happen. When that's not necessarily the case. And when we get to the end of the book here, you're going to see God's going to reprove these men for their assumptions. So, what you guys need to go home with is this. Don't just look at somebody who's going through troubles and think they're probably in sin that nobody knows about. You know, I think this or I think that, or they've probably done this. Don't think those things. And just because somebody is doing well or having a good life, what you might think is a good life, don't think they're just the purest thing. You know, we shouldn't just think and try to determine whether somebody's good or not. That's not for us. Does that make sense? Don't look at somebody's circumstances and determine that's a good man or that's a bad man. Because that's what Job's friends are doing, and they're going to get in big trouble. Any questions? Okay. Today we were doing two things. We were having a review on what? What was the subject?
Divorce and remarriage.
Divorce and remarriage was the review, and modesty was the subject. So, let us stand up, everybody. Okay. Who has verses on divorce and remarriage? Raise your hand. Okay, very good. I also want to see who has verses on modesty. Raise your hands if you have verses on modesty. Okay, good. We have some overlap. Let's start here. Boaz, let's start with you. What is your verse? Look at me. Judy, you know what his verse is? Okay. We'll start with you, Judah.
Divorce and remarriage is 1 Corinthians 7, 10 through 11. Romans.
Okay. Sylvester, what do you have? Do you have a verse ready for today? Tell me. Even if it's online. Any of you other younger guys, if you want to give him a help, start him off. Arthur, he's going to start you, and then you're going to pick it up. Mark 10, 12.
And if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery.
Very good. Remember, what the goal is for you boys is that you can know where to go. At least right now, we still have our Bibles. It's good if you have it memorized, but if you know where it's at to go and look at it, you don't have to know it perfectly, but if you know where to look to get it, you can just go right to it. Mark 10:12. Okay.
First Timothy.
And this is about what?
Modesty.
This is about modesty.
I got one on both.
Okay, give us both.
Okay. First Timothy 2:9. In modest apparel and shamefacedness and sobriety. Luke 16:18.
Okay, Luke 16:18. We've had several of those. We'll just skip that one. Caleb, speak it loud and clear.
What?
Mark.
Mark 10:1-12.
And what does that talk about? You don't know? Talks about divorce, right? Give me another passage that talks about divorce. You have one? Okay. Just a little pointer for you guys. You need to pay attention to what the other young men are saying. You can find a lot of truth if you'll just open your ears up and listen to what other people are saying. We've had several passages about divorce and remarriage. Okay. You, Dave?
7:1.
You know what it says? What does it talk about? Is it okay to get divorced? No. If somebody said you can get divorced, you could take them to which passage? Okay. David. You're Matthew, right? Matthew, David. Okay, we'll go with David. Right?
3:2-3. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law of her husband so long as she liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is released from the law of her husband. So when it, while her husband liveth, she is free from another man, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, for she is married to another man.
Okay, let me ask you some questions about this, because this comes up a lot. What if, and then we're going to keep going, but just a question. Somebody's going to come up to you and say that they got a divorce before they became a Christian, and then they got remarried. Isn't it okay? They might say to you. Raise your hand. Who has an answer? Phil.
No.
Why?
Because God said it's not.
Well, that's true. But a lot of people need a little more proof than that. That is very true. I mean, the authority that we have in saying these things, just so you know. When we talk to people about what's right, divorce and remarriage, not going to war, giving to those who have needs, not swearing oaths, stuff like this. The authority that we have is because that is God's way. That's what God wants. And that's enough. I mean, that's enough. If you can't remember, you know, because within you, we know that that's God's way. That's authority enough. It is also in the Bible, and you can show that to people. A lot of people, that is a major, major help. But what I'm just saying is, these things are God's ways. And so if you can't find it, just still say the truth, is what I'm trying to say. But if somebody says that, you could take him to that passage and show them. Because even Paul says, so if somebody gets a divorce and marries somebody else, he's even using words that the world would use, marry somebody else, then he says, if their first husband or wife is still alive, they are doing what? Well, they're committing adultery. And that is why they're called an adulteress. Even if the government gives them a sheet of paper that says they're married and divorced, it doesn't matter. In God's eyes, it's wrong. That's Romans chapter 7, verses 1 and 2 and 3. We'll skip on. So. Apparel, of modest apparel. Another point on the adultery thing. In the Matthew 5 passage, he says, you've heard that it says, you put away your wife for any cause. But I say to you, not to do it for any reason, saving for the cause of fornication. And then he puts it, there's a comma there. That means to break an idea. But do not marry a divorced person. Oftentimes, people will come to you, boys, when you grow up, and they'll say, well, there's an exception. I can go and get remarried because they weren't faithful to me. And they say, see, I can separate and get remarried. Well, it doesn't say that they can separate and get remarried. It says for sure that they cannot get remarried. Okay? That's what you have to remember. They cannot get remarried. Okay, let's review. Just listen to me. I'm going to read the seven passages that have the divorce. 1 Corinthians 7, 10 through 11, and also verse 39. 1 Corinthians, say it. 1 Corinthians 7. Okay, I'll say it, then you say it. 1 Corinthians 7, verses 10 through 11.
1 Corinthians 7, 10 through 11.
And verse 39. Okay. Romans chapter 7, verses 2 and 3.
Romans chapter 7, verses 2 and 3.
And Caleb, what are these verses about? Very good. Okay. Luke 16, 18.
Luke 16, 18.
Okay. Mark 10, verses 1 through 12.
Mark 10, verses 1 through 12.
Jackson, what are these verses about? Good. Okay. Matthew 19, verses 8 through 10.
Matthew 19, verses 8 through 10.
Sylvester, what are these verses about? Do you remember? Divorce and remarriage. Matthew 19, verses 8 through 10. Divorce and remarriage. Okay, and then the final one, Matthew 5, verses 31 and 32.
Matthew 5, verses 31 and 32.
And what is that verse about? Okay, let's see if Brother Steve can remember the ones about modesty. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Oh, you gave it to me. You're right, 2:9. Okay, and 1 Peter. Did anybody have this one? 1 Peter passage. Okay, 1 Peter, check me. 1 Peter chapter 3. Open it up. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 4, 5, 6.
I have 3.
Oh, 3. Okay, read it for us.
Good adorning, let it not be that outward adorning for placing the hair in a whirling gold or putting on a pearl.
Okay. Very good. Modesty is real important. Don't let your eyes glitter when you see an immodest girl out in the world. Just look away, because that's Satan's way of getting many, many men lost. And you've got to choose when you're a young boy just to look away and look down, okay? And walk with your daddy. You just walk with your dad and listen to their advice. Okay? All right. We'll give you your assignment tonight. God bless you guys.